Welcome to Ambleside Flourish, brought to you by Ambleside Schools International.
On Beauty, written by Dr. Bill St. Cyr and read by Mary Ellen St. Cyr. We all know these are harrowing times. A man dies under the knee of a police officer. Such things ought not to be. Crowds erupt in riot, looting, burning, and killing. Such things ought not to be. How are we to understand it? What is to be done? Listening to the voices filling the air, the pundits on the left claim the problem is the power politics and economics of the right. The pundits on the right claim the problem is the power politics and economics of the left. In the meantime, violent elements are enabled and exploited. All grow in fear and in rage. Both sides suggest that if we just get the politics and economics right, all will be well. But is this true? Certainly politics and economics matter. They matter very much. But is there something more essential? Something upstream from politics and economics that must be gotten right if a moral politics and economics is to be possible? Something that, if missing, will inevitably lead to corruption and decay. In generations past, it was largely held by Americans, both common sense citizens and thoughtful elites, that apart from the general valuing of a noble character, no political or economic system would be sufficient to establish a people in justice and freedom. Thus, there was a time when no educational institution could be deemed successful unless it cultivated virtuous character. As Charlotte Mason expressed a century ago, quote, "This is familiar ground to us. We too have taught, in season and out of season, that the formation of character is the aim of the educator," end quote. The formation of character is at the heart of an Ambleside education. It is not the only component of an Ambleside education, but it is fundamental. To fail in the matter of character formation is to fail completely. Luke asks a question from his gospel. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit themselves? To some extent, everything we do at Ambleside relates in some way to the formation of character, be it worshiping God, obeying a teacher, serving a classmate, managing emotional distress well, giving careful attention to a painting, or delighting in the accurate solving of a mathematics problem. All reflect and cultivate the content of one's character. There is an aspect of character which is rarely considered, but is a far more formative guide to the heart than conscience or critical analysis could ever be. This aspect of character, this motivational power, is what Charlotte Mason recognized as the beauty sense. To be sure, the beauty sense has little to do with the prosaic nature of good taste and fine art or home decorating. Like goodness and truth, beauty is one of the fundamental aspects of any and every created thing. Ours is a world created and sustained by the eternal Word of God. Yet, growing in labor pains until now, it suffers from the ravages of sin. In such a cosmos, every existing thing is more or less true, more or less good, or more or less beautiful. To help us think about this, let's compare an elegant, fragrant rose in full bloom with a wilted rose. In terms of thought, the elegant rose is more truly what God had in mind when he thought of roses. In terms of action in the world, the elegant rose is a better, more complete expression of what God intended for roses to be. In terms of bringing joy, the elegant rose is better ordered to the delight God intended roses to be. In other words, the elegant rose is objectively truer, better, and more beautiful than the wilted rose. This may be difficult to accept, For 100 years, we have been told that beauty is subjective, a matter of personal preference. The subjectivizing of beauty is a gross failure of thought and imagination. It is also extremely destructive. The subjectifying of beauty has led to an abandonment of the responsibility to educate our children's beauty sense. And today, we are seeing the tragic consequences in our streets. Contemplate with me. A new mother and her baby hold each other, eyes locked in visual embrace, mutual smiles, rhythmic peace and joy. Or a father and child delight in one another, bright-faced, throwing, catching, chasing after a ball, smiles and laughter. Or unsolicited, a good woman drops food and other needed supplies on the doorsteps of elderly and physically vulnerable neighbors. Or a protester steps forward to take a police officer in warm embrace as a crowd stands awed and tensions melt. Or a band of brothers stand side by side in front of a store, peacefully using their bodies to protect both the elderly owner and his livelihood. To the well-formed soul, such images brighten the eye. They inspire, bring joy, motivate virtuous living. To those who have eyes to see, such images are beautiful. But to the malformed, such images have no appeal. To the malformed, only the grotesque appeals, only fear, anger, bitterness motivates. How is it that both the grotesque and the beautiful have such power? While it is a great oversimplification, one can think of the human brain as having two motivational systems, the love-joy system and the lust-fear-anger system. Love-joy is built upon and reinforces a life of relational wholeness. Lust-fear-anger is built upon and reinforces a life of relational deficits. At least since the classical age of Greece, great minds have recognized that when the eye of the rightly formed soul looks out into the world and beholds beauty, love joy is amplified. Plato described this phenomenon in the Phaedrus. Quote, when in like manner the soul is beginning to grow wings, the beauty of the beloved meets her eye, and she receives the sensible warm motion of particles which flow towards her, therefore called emotion, and is refreshed and warmed by them, and she ceases from her pain with joy. End quote. Love-joy bonds are only built upon the objectively good, true, and beautiful. Lust-fear-anger bonds are built upon the evil, false, and grotesque. Beauty runs deep in the human soul, deep in the human brain, deeper than the good and far deeper than the true. An infant recognizes the beauty of her mother's face before recognizing the good and long before recognizing the truth. We know beauty when free of lust, fear, anger. Our heart sees, smiles, and wants to share the experience with others. This is true whether it is beauty resonant in a Monet masterpiece or one of Odell Beckman's acrobatic catches, or the September 11 rush of first responders into the Twin Towers. We remember the words of St. Paul. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. The great tragedy of a malformed beauty sense is not bad taste in art or interior decoration. It is the complete inability to recognize what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is pleasing, what is commendable, what is excellent, and what is worthy of praise. Failing right formation, the soul delights in the brutal, the base and the bitter. Fail to cultivate the beauty sense, and our children know only the mob.
Ambleside Schools International fosters an educational renewal based upon the pedagogical insights of British educator Charlotte Mason. Serving an international community of parents, teachers, and schools, Ambleside makes a living education accessible to all. For additional information regarding Ambleside Schools International and training opportunities for principals, teachers, and parents, please visit our website at ambleside schools.com.